Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this 15th Sunday of Ordinary Time. I'm Barbara Little here with Father Joseph Lopez, who is sitting in for Bishop Mulvey while he's on vacation. This morning, we're going to hear and discuss our gospel from St. Mark and continue our conversation on vocations. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
It's mostly indoors in air-conditioned comfort. The 5th Annual Church and Community Rummage Sale, sponsored by the Women's Club of Our Lady of Consolation in Botman Hall on Saturday, July 25th, from 8 a.m. till 2 p.m. They'll accept clean, unbroken, saleable items July 19th through 24th. You may want to sell your own items, so they'll have rental spaces available inside with tables or outside without tables. To get there, travel south of Kingsville on Highway 77 about 12 miles, then 5 miles east on FM 628, and it's well worth the trip. To hear all about it, call Teresa May at 361-296-4642.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Father Joseph, and how are you this morning?
Good morning, Barbara. I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Well, welcome back. We're thrilled to have you again this Sunday. Appreciate you doing this for us. Well, our gospel today is from St. Mark, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Jesus summoned the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over unclean spirits. He instructed them to take nothing for the journey but a walking stick, no food, no sack, no money in their belts. They were, however, to wear sandals, but not a second tunic. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave. Whatever place does not welcome you or listen to you, leave there and shake the dust off your feet in testimony against them." So they went off and preached repentance. The 12 drove out demons, and they anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Father Joseph, this gospel just comes right after our one from last week, and it continues that theme where Jesus is expressing regret at the people's lack of faith and really don't think that he's a prophet.
That's exactly right, yeah. Interestingly, you know, in looking over this gospel passage as well as the readings, one of the things that popped in my mind was a very common phrase, religion and politics don't mix. So, but I have a different take on that. And since politics is about our everyday life, it governs the way we live, we should not leave our religion within the church walls. A religion that is unwilling to leave the sanctuary doesn't have a whole lot to say about life because our faith is lived outside the church walls. So whenever fundamental moral principles are involved, I believe that we must speak about what our Lord and Savior has to say. After all, if we really think about it, our country, the United States, was founded on Christianity. So there's, I mean, political questions, hot topics often involve moral concerns. Abortion, our involvement in war, nuclear arms, stem cell research. You know, things can get pretty complex once we bring faith out of the church and implement it in our everyday decisions.
And, you know, it's interesting that you're bringing this up because we just a week ago completed the Fourth Night of Freedom. You know, that was the 2 weeks, the 21st through July the 4th, that's going to be an annual event from my understanding. And it's nice to highlight the fact that we prayed about it during those 2 weeks, and now that we're a week past it, we shouldn't forget about it.
Absolutely not.
We should continue it.
Absolutely not. Yes, we should continue with it and be proud, for who we are and what we are.
Mm-hmm.
So, in taking a look at the readings, especially the first reading from the book of the prophet Amos, the prophet Amos, he was severely punished for his involvement in politics. The last thing that this man wanted to be was a prophet. He was a shepherd and he was a gardener. He much would rather have tended to his sheep and the vines rather than telling people that God would have vengeance on them if they did not repent. He cried about it.
Mm-hmm.
No, he didn't want to do it, but, you know, and he tells, as we hear in the first reading, he tells Amaziah, I was no prophet, nor have I belonged to a company of prophets. I was a shepherd and a dresser of sycamores.
In other words, don't make me do this.
Exactly right. You know, don't make me do something I don't want to do. But then what happens, again, reading on to the reading, the Lord took him aside and said, go and prophesy. And so Amos, being a man of faith, a believer, was for sure not going to tell our Lord no.
Wise move.
Very wise move. So God called him, go and prophesy. And remember, a prophet is not necessarily foretelling something. We often think that a prophet is going to foretell the future. No. A prophet is a proclaimer and the defender of the truth. Now, Amos, he was from the countryside. He was not very highly educated. The wealthy city people considered him to be of a low class and not worthy to be heard. So it kind of confused them a little bit. So when Amos entered the city, he was scandalized because he saw the wealthy overfed in their luxury at the expense of the poor. Whoa. So he saw the poor peasants being sold into slavery for no other reason than that the superiors were able to do so and
they
wanted
had the
to
money.
Do. Exactly right. They were able to do whatever they wanted to because they were the wealthy. So in the temple, he found false worshipers rejoicing in their good fortune, which of course they interpreted as proof of their good standing with God. Now, also consider at the time, those that were wealthy were the ones who were thought of to be more favored by God. Now, in the same temple, he also saw that the priests were soothing their ears with sermons, justifying their beliefs and behavior, and helping them believe that they were the best people around.
The chosen people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the wealthy and the priests.
Mm-hmm.
So Amos comes in, he sees all of this. So his preaching and prophesying, proclaiming the truth, against all these things, it wasn't exactly received well. So Amaziah, in the reading, Amaziah tells him to leave town. So Amos's message had been officially rejected. Is this surprising? No. Because Jesus's message, 100 years later, mm-hmm. was rejected as well. So the gospel passage, how does this fit in? So the gospel passage, Jesus tells his disciples, if any place does not welcome you and people refuse to listen to you, shake off the dust from under your feet and move on. Don't fight them, pray for them. Don't neglect them, care for them. Don't ostracize them, but include them. Tell them about repentance for rejecting the truth. This was the message that he wanted mm-hmm. the disciples to proclaim, to be prophets about.
Right. Yeah.
So repentance, what does this mean? By Jesus' definition, is more than mere regret for our past sins. True repentance means a paradigm shift in one's life, a fundamental change of direction, a 180 degree, not 360. Because mm-hmm. remember, 360, you go all the way around.
Back, right.
It's a 180 degree turn in our life, rejecting sin and accepting the truth. So repentance means turning away from a mentality of it's all about me, to it's all about God and my neighbor. It's all about the others around me, not myself. This means putting our Lord at the center of our life, not putting him in a corner or a jack in the box,
right.
You know, winding him up for him to pop out whenever we want mm-hmm. to on demand. No,
mm-hmm.
It means putting our Lord and what he teaches us at the center of our lives. And one of those is the gospel of love, right? So love your neighbor as you love yourself. So what is it that we're turning away from? What is it that we're repenting? Is it consumerism? It's different for everybody.
Right.
Buying happiness by amassing things? Is it hedonism where we say, you know, if it feels good, go ahead and do it? Is it selfishness when we ignore the less fortunate? Is it fear? Fear that we will not be accepted if we proclaim the truth to our friends or our family or coworkers? It's different for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But it's important just to reflect, you know, what is it for me? You know, what is it that I need to repent?
And what, I guess another way to look at it, because we've talked about this on other programs, especially when it comes to possessions. Do you worship your possessions more than you worship God?
Exactly right. So, I mean a good, you know, litmus test could be, you know, am I putting more time and effort and money into these particular things and neglecting my family? Right. And neglecting my friends, or neglecting those that I love and care for,
right?
Because I need to have this, I need to do that,
right?
That's a very good litmus test, and sometimes it can be very, very difficult, you know, to look at ourselves, to look at our lives, and accept the truth about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can be very, very daunting,
mm-hmm.
but that's where our Lord comes in.
Exactly.
You know, we have
people that consider themselves workaholics,
right?
For instance, at what expense?
Exactly right. You know, am I working too much? To the point where I'm not spending the quality time that I need with my family.
You know, I can work less hours, fulfill all the needs mm-hmm. that are necessary,
right.
The basic needs, and get to know my family and my friends and my loved ones.
And again, it just takes all it takes is looking at ourselves
mm-hmm.
authentically and genuinely. And sometimes it means accepting when other people come to us. They notice people that we love and care for. They come and tell us, hey, have you ever thought that you might be doing this too much? Or have you ever thought you might be spending this much money on this particular hobby and maybe being neglectful mm-hmm. to your family or your friends or to other parts of your life that need some attention? You know, that can be very, very difficult.
Mm-hmm. Difficult for the person to say, but mm-hmm. difficult to hear.
But again, if it's someone that we love and we know that they're not telling us those things, in most cases.
Right.
They're not
right.
telling us to hurt us. They're telling us because they love and care for us.
Right.
And in the same way, we should be receptive of that.
Exactly.
Knowing that they're telling us because they love us.
Right.
It's hard. It's
right.
very difficult, but it needs to happen sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So repentance doesn't begin somewhere else. It begins with all of us, with you, me, right here, right now, sometimes on a daily basis. So again, as we spoke about a little bit last week,
mm-hmm.
through our baptism, we are called to be priest, prophet, and king, to proclaim the truth even when we get rejected, and sometimes proclaim the truth to ourselves.
Mm. We're probably the toughest audience, don't you think?
Yes,
at least
yes, we are.
I know for myself.
Yes, we are.
Wonderful. Any final thoughts on this gospel?
I think it's important, you know, to ask our Lord, you know, during our prayer and reflection, when thinking about these things, I would say to ask him for three things. You know, we ask him for a lot.
We do.
But I would say, you know, three things. And those things are to be courageous, to persevere, and to be prudent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to be courageous when we find that we are in a situation where we need to say something or do something. When we encounter a conversation that individuals are not proclaiming the truth, perseverance, that we might be able to continue to do that, persevere in those efforts, and prudence. You know, sometimes knowing the difference when we need to say something or not say anything at all.
Right.
And being prudent in those situations.
Thank you, Father Joseph. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we are going to continue our conversation with Father Joseph on vocations. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
Crecio is a movement focusing on helping Christian lay people become effective Christian leaders. Included in a Crecio weekend are numerous talks, some by a priest, some by lay people, and the goal is for those attendees to take what they've learned back into the world. An important point that is stressed is personal, spiritual development. The Corpus Christi Crecio Center, 1300 Lantana, will offer a men's Crecio in English the weekend of August 6th through 9th. For more information, call Gloria Franco, 249-2450.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. With Father Joseph, during the break, we were having a great conversation about what's going on in the vocations office. So why don't you share that with our audience. A lot of exciting things.
A lot of exciting things. And with the vocations office, one of the things that we've been really trying to amp up in the vocations office is our presence on social media. So we're very active in those areas. You know, we do have a Facebook account, Twitter, Instagram, and the different outlets of social media. And one of the things that I've realized is that this is where our young people are.
Right.
You know, and again, even you know, Pope Francis, Pope Benedict XVI, going back further, you know, have basically charged us to take advantage of the opportunities that we have in front of us, especially when it comes to the World Wide Web. So, what we do on the, especially on Facebook, in that particular avenue, is we provide different opportunities for the young men and women to discern. Now you think, how in the world are they discerning on the internet? Mm-hmm. This is where they are. This is what this is what they do. So this is what we call cyber discerners. Cyber discerners.
I like that.
Cyber discerners are the young men and women who are still trying to figure out what God wants them. So they've gotten to a point of asking, God, what do you want me to do? But yet they're afraid for whatever reason, and it's okay. You know, they're afraid to tell anybody about it. So they'll gather all their information on the internet, which is totally accessible mm-hmm. today. And we want to make sure that that they get good information.
Right.
Good, authentic, genuine information when it comes to discerning priesthood or religious life. So this is what we provide through our website, through our Facebook account, and so forth. And then, you know, there's the fun things, too, that we share as well. We share about the different events that we have going on with photos, maybe some captions with the photos. We share the upcoming events. That way, if they see something that comes across, or they're alerted on their phone or whatever through the Facebook account, they see and say, you know what, we describe it with the picture. They see it and they think, well, you know, I think I might want to do that. So we have the accessibility for them to actually register for an event online, or even to contact us. All of our contact information is readily available.
That's great.
Interestingly, is that I have actually been contacted by men and women through Facebook.
That's great.
Yeah. So, and I share with them, you know, when I go to different parishes or different events, I give them cards and our information, how to find us and like us and follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and let them know, you know, if you want to IM me, that's fine. You know, I can definitely, IM is instant messaging.
Yes, you're accessible.
Okay, that's right. Yeah. So that, they can definitely contact me through there. Now, we don't want to leave it completely in that area. You know,
right.
we need some FaceTime. But sometimes, you know, young men and women, that's the point of contact they want to make through the social media because it's safe for them. Mm-hmm. So we've been doing that. We've been currently in the process of making some videos, promotional videos for priesthood and religious life. And again, some our young men and women, this is where they get their information. So we want to make sure that we have some interaction as well, interactive videos and websites for them to look at and to be.
Well, you were also sharing with me when we were talking about this that, you know, you're not the primary recruiter of young men and women for the priesthood and for consecrated life, that you need our help. And
exactly.
You need the priest help. So
yes.
How does that work?
So it's important to remember, you know, as a vocation director, you know, I have an office, and a lot of my time sometimes is spent in the office working on the different social media accounts that we have, a lot of paperwork that comes in, emails and so forth, as well as trying to make visits to different locations around the diocese. So I'm not able to be in every parish every single weekend.
Yeah, there's only
at
one
the same
of you.
Time. That's correct. There's only one of me. So it's very important for us to keep in mind, you know, that our pastors, as busy as they are and things that they do, you know, they also have a responsibility to promote vocations to priesthood and consecrated life. Mm-hmm. And for those, you know, that are parishioners in whatever parish we belong, we also know that the pastor, because of the different things that he has going on, that he has to manage, not only just the administering of the sick, and he doesn't only pop out on weekends to do Mass and offer Mass and hear confessions. Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on during the week. We know, because of all these things, he entrusts some of these different ministries to the lay people, mm-hmm. to the parishioners. With that, it's important to keep in mind as well that as lay people, there's a very important role for the lay people to fulfill. There's a lot of ministries in the parish, but one of those roles, and this is something that St. John Paul II called upon as well, spoke very, very strongly about the lay people's role in promoting vocations to priesthood and religious life.
And not just in prayer, but there are other ways we can do
actively.
It. Yes.
Yes. So, for example, we've been attending a particular parish, and, you know, we've been there for, I'm giving you a scenario.
Right.
So we've been there for, you know, I don't know, 25 years, and we see this young man, let's say his name is John, and we saw John come in. The first day he came into church was in a carrier with his parents. And they sit in the pew right in front of us. And for 25 years, because we're Catholics, we sit in the same pew all the time. We've seen John grow up. Mm-hmm. And we've seen John, you know, he's been a server. He's been active in youth ministry. He's been in the choir, whatever it may be. He may not even be in any of that. But we've seen John grow up. Very prayerful young man, very respectful to his parents and to the parishioners and so forth. And we begin to see that these qualities in John could possibly be qualities to be a priest. And we see him, we think about him, we pray for him, but yet how far does that go?
Right.
You know, we have an opportunity to be proactive in promoting vocations to priesthood and religious life by the mere fact of asking him. And asking him in a way that is important. Asking a young man to consider priesthood or a young woman to consider religious life, it's a sacred act. Mm-hmm. It's not something that should be done flippantly. It's not something that should be joked around with. It's something because the way that we ask someone if they ever thought about priesthood or religious life, the way that we do that is an external sign of the way that we think about it.
Mm-hmm.
So if we say, John, hey, John, you would look good in black. You know, and to leave it at that, you know, that's we don't want to do that because it downplays the importance of the role.
Right.
When John could very well be thinking about it, we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, you know, an opportunity could be presented where we ask John, or we could even talk to the parents and say, hey, has your son ever considered priesthood? You know, we think, you know, he might be a good priest one day.
Mm-hmm. We've been watching him.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And
right.
So I think it's important as parishioners to think about that as well. You know, we have an opportunity to participate in a huge role in the church by a simple question.
Mm-hmm.
And little do we know, I mean, that simple question at an opportune time could change John's life forever.
And as a lay person, we may not think that should be our role. We may leave it up to the priest, which, and very well, the priest may have said something to him, mm-hmm. and they may be talking to other people, but it's not just up to our pastor.
Yeah, I mean, it could be, say, for example, John, you know, he may not be participating in any ministry in the parish, so he may not even be known to the pastor.
Right.
But yet we know him because we see him all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know those people, you know, and that's perfectly okay. They go to Mass on Sunday, and we don't see them during the week, but yet we observe him, we see the way he is, we see the way he acts, we see the way he prays, we listen to him, the way he responds to us, and there's something to say when we feel something in our gut.
That's very true.
Yes.
It's usually the Holy Spirit talking to
mm-hmm.
us.
Movements of the Spirit, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's wonderful. Well, then, I didn't want this session to end without asking you, how many young men do we have in seminary right now?
Okay. So our seminarians are home for the summer.
Right.
We have currently 11 men. Studying for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, being formed to be priests. The different seminaries, and they attend different seminaries because they're at different levels. So the young men that are in college seminary, they either attend Holy Trinity Seminary in Dallas, in Irving, and they attend University of Dallas for their academics, or they go to attend St. Joseph Seminary in Covington, Louisiana. For our theology, the men who are in graduate school, the Diocese of Corpus Christi uses Assumption Seminary in San Antonio, the Pontifical North American College in Rome, and this year we'll be using the theological college in Washington, and then the academics will be used. They'll be going to university at Catholic University.
Wow.
There.
Wow.
So they're home for the summer. Now, and so we're glad they were home.
Yes,
glad
they're home. And they are busy. I was at the Mother Teresa shelter, and I met several of the young men from the seminary in Louisiana.
Yes.
And then we have one in our parish. So it's nice to see them. And, of course, we can use the help.
Yes, the seminarians, very fine men, very fine young men, very loving and caring men. And we, in conversation with the bishop, you know, he wants to be able to provide them an opportunity to grow in all areas of whether it be human formation, academic formation, pastoral formation, and spiritual formation. But when they're home, they're already focusing on academics when they're in school.
Right. And,
but when they're at home, we want to be able to continue for them to develop, especially in the pastoral areas.
Mm-hmm.
So they do get a little bit of time to visit with their family, mm-hmm. but we do keep them busy. So the different opportunities that they have to help to develop their formation, they do, some of them go to the Mother Teresa shelter and they help there.
Mm-hmm.
They also help with the Catholic Charities in general,
right?
Whether it be in the main office area or with the transitional housing, just depending on what the need is. You know, some of them, they go in thinking that they're going to be working on one particular project, and that they go in that morning, and then they meet Linda, and I'm sorry, we have something different for you. This is where you need it.
Mm-hmm.
And the men are very good.
Oh, yeah.
They're able to adapt very well. They know that they're of service, that they're to be of service, and they accept that and embrace it.
Mm-hmm.
We have some men that are in different parishes to be able to get them that parish experience. The more parish experience they have, the better. So that way they have a full gambit. They know exactly what they're going to be getting into
mm-hmm.
When they, God willing, are ordained priests.
Right, yeah. Right. Well, it's wonderful to see them. I know the young man that I saw a couple of weeks ago, he was helping the altar servers, you know, and that's because you have new altar servers.
Okay.
And so it's wonderful to have a seminarian kind of show them.
Right. That's exactly
what
right.
To do.
And then also we have one that is currently in Temple,
mm-hmm.
in Temple, Texas, and he is spending his summer with clinical pastoral education.
Oh, wonderful.
So he's learning the ins and outs about pastoral care in hospital ministry.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, so it's very important. As you know, as priests, we make a lot of visits to hospital.
Great experience.
Very good experience for him, yes.
That's wonderful.
So we're very happy that he's been able to go through that.
Wonderful. Thank you, Father Joseph. Well, if you could end our session this morning, please, with a prayer and a blessing.
Let us pray. O God, through the grace of adoption, chose us to be children of light. Grant, we pray, that we may not be wrapped in the darkness of error, but always be seen to stand in the bright light of truth. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. May Almighty God bless you. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father Joseph, for being here with us today, and thank you for listening to our program this morning. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.